Welcome to the Jeff Knows Inc. Show with your host, Jeff Lopes, where we bring you the world's top athletes, celebrities, entrepreneurs, influencers, and their journeys to success.
Welcome to episode 227 of the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. This week's guest is a special one, a proud Canadian, Amanda Lee Mayhew. She's a star of the Sportsman Canada Network's The Hunting Girl. She's the entrepreneur and owner of Just Hunt. Such a fun episode. You guys are truly going to love this episode. Like all weeks, I am totally appreciative of our fan base and our listeners that spend the time to leave a feedback. This week, I'm going to give a shout out to jen.apple82, who wrote, "Truly enjoying your Prevail Over Cancer podcasts. My favorite so far is the one on nuts. Keep them going. Great information." Jen, I appreciate your feedback. Like always, guys, we are nothing without our fan base. So leave a review, leave a feedback. That is how we grow as podcasts. So sit back, everyone, and enjoy this episode. We are live. We are live on the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lope. Super excited to have on today Amanda Lee Mayhew. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. We were going on for about a good 15, 20 minutes before we even got on. So, it's an interesting conversation. I was introduced through a mutual friend. And when I checked your background and we started talking and all that stuff, I mean, you're doing a lot of things. You got a TV show, The Hunting. What is it? It is actually The Hunting.
That Hunting Girl show.
How long have you had that show on for?
So we started in 2016 and it was called Just Hunt on Wild TV. And then we switched it over to Sportsman Channel in 2019 and rebranded it as That Hunting Girl. So it's my ninth production year right now.
Which is pretty amazing. We're going to talk about that. You're into farming. There's so much about you, so many layers. But I want to always start off when I have interesting guests like yourself, like you're where you're brought up. We're both Canadian here. You're brought north. And when I talk about north Canada, and we're going to talk about where you, give me a little of your background, your story. Like, where did you get into hunting? How did you, your family, like, just give me a history of growing up.
Well, it all started in 1974. No, I'm kidding. Northern Ontario, Manitowoc, very small, remote town where I was born and raised. Me and my sister, and my dad was a mechanic, and he loved spending time outdoors, and so did my mom. My mom loved to fish. My dad loved to fish and hunt, and they were always together, so we always had family trips. But when my sister was born, she was premature, so she was quite young, and my dad would kind of, like, leave my sister at home. I was the older one, and I would, like, travel with him and go bird hunting and those kinds of things. And then as I got older, I got interested in firearms. He always wanted to watch, like, Chuck Norris movies and things like that. And my mom was like, "Oh, I'm not watching that." So she'd be like, "Mandy, come watch this with me." And then we just, like, would talk about, I don't know, I just got super passionate about firearms and fight scenes and all these things. And my parents put us in judo, and it was just like, that's just kind of where it was all born. And we always went camping. We lived probably 75% of our time we were outdoors.
Yeah. Which is, when you look at, I would say 90-95% of youth nowadays, that's the pure opposite.
It is. And that's unfortunate. I was lucky enough that I raised my children in a generation where I kept them outdoors and we went hunting and fishing and camping, and they have children that are doing the same. But this generation, yeah, it's really different. It's
only going to get, I mean, anyone would think we're going to talk about this, but it's only going to get worse. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. I grew up in Toronto. So actually downtown Toronto, Canada. And I still remember so much fun. We'd have like five or six streets, and we'd have so many young guys. Our friends lived on all these streets. So we created ball hockey teams for each street. So each street had a ball hockey team. We actually bought jerseys, and after school we would have, like, this street versus this street, and we'd keep all the records and keep all the stats, and then have a finals this whole season. This is like ball. So you're literally get in the house, grab a peanut butter sandwich, and you're out the outside till it's, you can't even see the ball anymore, till your parents are screaming on the porch and you'd be running. And that was growing up. And nowadays it's totally different. Like, I'm very lucky that I started physical and, like, fitness from a very young age. So both my kids work out with me. They're both health fanatics. They both eat extremely healthy. They both work out every day. They're 15 and 17 now. So, and they both play sports and are active. So I've kind of kept them in that range, but the whole hanging out with your neighbors and doing stuff that they don't even see that anymore. It's very, very rare.
Yeah. That's, I don't even know what to say about that. Like my kid, like I said, I'm lucky that my kids still do that. Like
yeah.
Last night, my middle son came home and he was like, "Mom, can you come watch the grandbabies? I want to go snowmobiling with my buddy." And I'm like, "Sure."
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So hunting, when did that become something where you looked at it as a career? Like, well, give me your career path. How it led that way.
I never did. I actually, I just hunted. That's just what I did. And every chance that I had, I just hunted. So I moved to Waterloo in 2001 because I was into fitness so strong because I was diagnosed with Graves' disease. So I was like, I'm not taking pills. I'm not doing all this stuff. They radiated my thyroid and I saw Chuck Norris on a commercial, went and bought the Total Gym, got myself in shape, went and just kept going to the gym and, created a fitness magazine that was ad free. I have a whole Chuck Norris story, by the way, but moved to Waterloo, started doing figure bodybuilding, like at the Stratford shows and stuff. And while I was doing that, I was still hunting and social media came on in 2007. So I was on Facebook and I was posting like, I'm going moose hunting, I'm going bear hunting. And it was just doing my regular, like, this is just what I'm doing today. And as I was writing the magazine, senior editor Patrick Walsh from Outdoor Canada, him and I kind of got in contact with each other and I was like smashing editorial and journalism ideas off of him. And he kind of was recognizing what I was doing. So they had an Outdoor Canada show in 2011 in Toronto. And he asked me to be part of the hunting panel, women's notable hunting panel. He's like, do you want to come and talk about hunting and how you got into it and stuff? And I was like, sure. So did that. And it just went into a snowball. So Bass Pro was like, hey, do you want to come do a day at Bass Pro and meet people? And then that turned into Cabela's Ambassador. And then I was writing columns and just doing like kind of little bits and pieces. And then I got on to be the ambassador of the Toronto Sportsman Show. So I was there promoting women in the outdoors. And then I created Just Hunt and Just Hunt. I didn't really know where I was going with that, but I knew that that's what I do. And while all this time I held full-time positions. So I was the gun girl at the gun counter at Shooter's Choice in Waterloo. I sold guns. I worked for the provincial government at Service Ontario, moved over to the Ministry of Natural Resources. I went to SHOT Show in 2016. Wild TV was like, hey, we've been seeing you all over the place. And, you know, we like your personality and you really get out there and you get dirty and you get it done. You got your kids with you. Let's get you on this pilot show. And I said, no, I'm not going on TV. Are you kidding me? And so they asked and they made it like sound really good. You only have to do 3 episodes. We'll send a cameraman. All you have to do is just hunt. And I was like, oh, well then, okay. So we started with that, did 2 seasons, 3 episodes each. And then it got so much feedback from the audience that they were like, okay, we're going to give you a full season of Just Hunt. Go do 12 episodes. Have fun. I did that, started traveling. Did like Newfoundland and a couple of, cause I only really primarily hunted in Ontario. And then I flipped over to Sportsman Channel and now I'm like all over the world. So last year I did like Africa, Mexico, Florida. And then this year it's even going bigger and more things are happening. I'm participating in a fashion show, which is Sean Connery's Dress to Kilt fundraising event in Toronto this year. And I got to walk down the catwalk, which is something that's way out in left field for me to do. but they're doing it as promoting the outdoors in Canada. So, it's just crazy. It's just every time I wake up in the morning, just like a new door opens and something else happens. And, now I'm going here. Yeah, there's more elements to that, but that's the gist of it.
That's a lot in there. I mean, it's crazy how the world works and how opportunities come about, huh? It's, you never understand. And I always say this, I mean, you have to obviously put in the work. There's probably tons of work you do behind the scenes nobody sees, and no one's never an overnight success, but no. Luck factors into everything. It's opportunity, right? Opportunity is luck, right? Being in the right spot at the right time to meet somebody or be on a panel or be all that stuff. So it's crazy how it's just your journey. Just, I mean, everything you're saying to me is I mean, most people won't even do half of that in their lifetime when it comes to opportunity. So it's just crazy that it's all happened and it's still happening and growing. Let's get back to, I'm going to get back to you later on with the Chuck Norris story, but when you just started to do the first season of Just Hunt and you did 12 episodes, actually when you renewed and you did the 12 episodes, give me some stories on understanding, like how much crew you had with you, where'd you go hunt? What did you go hunt? Like, how, like when you're dealing with a TV show, this is not something you're retaking. It's live. You do a shot. Like how much editing goes involved? Like, give me understanding of a real outdoor show. And where were you filming it? Was it up North Canada? Like where were the first 12 seasons? Yeah, you were, huh?
Oh God. The first 12 episodes, you're going back to 2018. So 2018, I did Newfoundland.
Okay.
And I went by myself.
What did you hunt there? Moose. Okay. Moose.
So I shot my first bull moose in Newfoundland with my grandfather's rifle. All of the hunts that I've done have been with my grandfather's rifle. So
which
it's something that's
pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
I'm very sentimental that way. But most of my shows for that first season were filmed in Ontario. And I have a program called Take Me Hunting Outreach Program. So that was a filler show as well. So I took a group of girls that had never been hunting before. They just got their firearms license and their hunting licenses. And we went grouse hunting and we made like a super fun show out of it. I did some fishing, a bear hunt. Oh God, I can't remember. I'd have to go on my website.
See the bear hunt. How does that even work? So you get a tag for bear hunting? I would assume that would be pure illegal. It's not, is it?
So bear hunting opens in Ontario. So there's a spring bear hunt now. They have closed it for a number of years and a fall bear hunt. And you have your outdoors card, you buy your bear license and you just go bear hunting. So we normally set up a bait site. So we have the bears coming in and it's probably the most enjoyable hunt. Because you can study their behaviors and check them out. You always have like multiple bears coming in. Actually, my 12-year-old shot his first bear when he was 12. And it's an amazing hunt. Like for myself, I've shot so many bears that I don't really care to shoot anymore. I'd rather see someone else shoot bears. And it's good. It's good eating. It's great eating. And, I don't know what to say about it, but it's
have you had any encounters or scary situations when you're dealing with that?
No,
you haven't.
People know me and like even my son, when he was 9 years old, we went bear hunting in Manitowoc and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get out and check this. And there was nothing there. We drove down one of the trails. There was a bear on the side of the trail. And I'm like, okay, Mackenzie, you stay here. Here's the camera. Mommy's going to get out. I'm going to go see if I can get that bear. And he was just like, what? And so I got out of the truck and I crossed the road and I was walking towards the bear and the bear was walking towards me and we were getting closer and closer and closer. And he turned broadside and I picked the gun up and I took one shot, boom, down. And Mackenzie was just like, Mom, you're walking towards that bear. And I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal. So, and I do it all the time. Like we'll see a bear while we're out bear hunting and I'll grab one of the girls and I'll be like, okay, let's go. Let's get closer. And they're like, what are you talking about? So you can just, I don't know. It's probably because I've done it for so long. You can tell when a bear is gonna do something. Even though a lot of people say they're unpredictable, you got to pay attention. Watch their behavior, watch their ears, watch how their body language is, and you can just kind of tell. So plus you have a gun. Like, I don't know.
So what are you looking at weight wise for some of these bears? I was going to ask you is once you do. So even like taking it and slapping on the truck, like this is not something that's very light. I'm thinking soaking wet. I'm not going to ask your weight, but you're pretty petite. You look pretty petite. So how do you get, and you're there with your son. Like, how do you physically get it on the truck?
Well, on that one, I had to go get my dad.
Okay.
But my dad had this crazy setup where he had a winch on the back of his truck and we take the tailgate off.
Yeah.
We slide it as a ramp and we use the ramp to go up. So that's how I do it now.
Okay.
But I'm strong. I weigh about 150 pounds. I work out, always have. And two springs ago, me and my girlfriend Jenny got a bear. I shot the bear and we had a side by side. She's like, we got to go back and get some help. We'll never get this bear in the side by side. And I'm like, no, we are getting this bear in the side by side. And it's all on a TV show. How we like, she's in the back of the side by side and we like kind of ramp it up. We had nothing. We have no ropes or anything. And I just like using my knees and my shoulders and everything. And we got into the side by side, two girls. Yeah.
So when you're saying you're filming this all, is there a camera crew? Is this physically?
No.
There is. No. So how are you filming? You just set up a tripod? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. So two things. When I did the Just Hunt series, I did have a cameraman, and unfortunately I fired him because he was just very rude. And a lot of cameramen are not hunters. So I was getting irritated at like people making noises when they shouldn't and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, like this is enough is enough. I know how to work the camera now. And when I first started, I had no idea about any of it. But then I caught on really quick. I knew what shots to take. I do a lot of B-roll. I know I have to get my A-roll done. And so when it comes to like, so say we're bear hunting, we're in a tree stand. I set up the camera. I set up two cameras, and maybe another person has another camera and they're in a tree stand. They're filming me. I'm filming where the bear is. We film like leaves fluttering and stuff like that. So we got all our B-roll and then the shot. So the kill shot, and then we get down and we have to do processing or pick the bear up or whatever. We put the camera on a tripod and we just hit record. And we do whatever we need to do. So it's kind of like the cameraman's there, but he's, you know, a tripod and doesn't tell us what to do. So it's a lot easier. I went to Africa this year and we have an amazing show. We have two episodes out of it, four girls, and they all did their own self-filming. And they just, I don't know. It's real life. And there's no second shot. There's no like.
Yeah, I was about to say that. There is no second shot. There isn't no second shot. So when you're doing this, sorry, go.
My show is just that. There is no, like, if we miss the kill shot on TV for some reason, we don't get to do it again. We just explain, this year I shot my turkey on the run. The turkey wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be going to my blind, and all of a sudden the turkey was there and I didn't get it on film. But I did the interview on film talking about what had happened. So, you know, sometimes that happens.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
So when it comes to, I mean, I'm assuming your own production as well. So everything, production, editing, you're doing all that, or you have
I don't do team? The editing. I have an editor.
Okay. So your contract with the TV series or the TV station, essentially, you got free range at pretty much everything, which is incredible too.
Yep. I can go where I want, when I want, with whoever I want, just as long as I'm paying attention to the regulations and rules and, you know. There's some things that you just can't do, like can't really process on TV. You gotta try to show minimal blood and those kinds of things. So
that's pretty amazing. So now you're doing, you said you did Africa, you did, you said Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Is it Florida? I was gonna say gator hunting. How was that? Was that your first time doing gator hunting?
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually got to film it at the same place where Swamp People is filmed. So it was really crazy. It was so awesome. You fish for them. So you throw in a fishing line.
Yeah.
You reel it in. And as the alligator is closer to you, you hand your rod over to the guide. The guide hands you a 9mm carbine. And you got one shot. And it's just like.
It's like a quarter. It's like a size of a quarter on the top of their neck or their head area, right?
Yeah. And boom. One shot, and he was just like, "What are you, Dirty Harry?" Because apparently he had a girl in there that morning, and she shot at an alligator six times, and she still didn't kill it. So it was super fun. And then we went, we reeled some more, and we didn't shoot them.
And this is on a small little boat.
No, we're on land. We're standing on the shore, and we're reeling them in. So
from the shore.
From the shore. So there are all kinds of like little ponds in this.
I'm just thinking of Swamp People, the show. My dad used to absolutely love that show. So I'm thinking of Swamp People where they would be on these little boats and you're like, if this thing tips over, you're done kind of thing, right?
So the one alligator that we were reeling in, I was backing up as I was reeling in, backing up, there was an alligator standing behind me. We didn't even catch it till we looked at the footage later.
Yeah.
I was like walked into an
alligator. What are you looking at size wise for some of these?
The one I shot was 8 feet.
Which is pretty.
I picked it up. Put it
over. I was going through your social media this morning just to get an idea of you, and I saw that photo. I'm like, okay, that's pretty.
I just got the alligator skull back at Christmas time. It looks friggin' amazing.
Oh, you got it back, huh?
Mm-hmm. Got the skull back. I'm still waiting for the hide.
So when you're the thing too, go.
All the animals nothing goes to waste. So me and my son, Mackenzie, went to Newfoundland. We shot our moose. He got his bull moose. I got mine. We got all the meat. We just got the hides back. So they're new comforters for our beds. And we took the skulls. So I've been whitening the skulls. We got the hides back for our beds. And the meat actually went to a gala that I had for Take Me Hunting. And we fed about 100 people moose, sweet and sour moose meatballs. So it all like kind of everything I do is forwarded into something else.
Which I think is so amazing. So let's talk about those skulls. What are you going to do with it? Just display pieces for your...
Yeah, those will just be display pieces.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
So when you're looking at... Yeah. When you're looking at a hunt, and obviously, I mean, your freezer, I'm assuming, is all full of your own hunt.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Somebody that doesn't understand hunting. My wife's old boss was a moose hunter. Like he would go once a year with his buds. They would hunt moose up north. Before they would obviously get their tag, they would hunt moose. And I remember hearing stories where as soon as it's done, they already have up there, they already have a butcher up there. They know a local butcher. They would bring the moose to the butcher. He would do the cuts where there's steaks, ground beef, like, everything's done. So when he comes back, everything's packed, ready to go. And he's in his freezer is set for the year. And so is that something where you guys focus on, where you guys already have everything? Do you do your own butchering, or you have a butcher that does all that for you? You do everything your own?
I do my own butchering, except for if I have like a back-to-back hunt. I've gone to the butcher twice. And that was last year. I had two back-to-back hunts and I shot a deer and I had to bring it to the butcher because I just didn't have enough time to get it done before moving on to the next one.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I do all my own butchering. We do pigs here at the farm. That is my favorite thing to butcher. I love it. And it's so rewarding because you get to like roll up your roasts and tie them. You have your chops that are like 3 inches thick and it's just amazing. I love it.
I'm spotty because you could put 100 females in a room and reality is most of them be like freaked out by what you're saying because they wouldn't have they wouldn't be able to do that. Right. And it's amazing how it's just so natural to you. And who taught you how to do all these cuts and how to do all this? Is this your dad? You'd learned on your own?
Yeah. So when it comes to like the cuts of a pig, I learned that on my own because nobody had ever done a pig before. My dad was like, you're going to do what? And he was there and he helped my husband. Like, they shoot the pigs. You got to shoot them at the same time because if you shoot one and not the other, then the other will stress out because they were raised together. So, and then they hung them from the tractor, they gutted them. And then they bring them in, they cut them in half, bring them into the shop, and I butcher them. And my dad will just sit there with a beer going, "You should do this." But he, like, when I was younger, he always had a moose. So he would hang the moose. I'd help him take the hide off. And then he would show me like the muscle groups and where you cut and everything like that. So that was like the majority of where I learned how to cut an animal up. But when it came to the pig, it was, I wanted pork chops. I wanted butterfly chops. I wanted steaks. I wanted all these certain things. I do my own bacon. Oh my God. And I did it all myself and I learned it all myself. And it's super rewarding.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So growing up, when your first time you did all that stuff like that, I mean, how did you react? How did you get into it? Like it was just naturally seeing your dad do it, huh?
Yeah. It was just like, oh,
that's
cool.
Awesome.
Like I remember when I was like 6, 7 years old and my dad would go out with his buddy and come back with a bear. And I was like, what? I want to go.
tell me about what you said there. And it's something I got the curiosity when I hear stuff I don't know about. So when you're saying you have to kill both of the pigs at the same time or one will stress out. I've never heard that before. Yeah. So what happens to the other pig?
it'll get like blood splotches in its meat. So it'll stress out because something happened to the other pig.
Seriously.
Yeah. We did that the first year. We learned the hard way. So we did it the first year. We shot one pig, hung it, processed it and everything. And then 2 days later went and shot the next pig. And it was just like all the word, you know, how pig is like a whiter meat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just all blood splattered all through it. So I had called somebody and I'm like, why would this happen? And the butcher had said, because when you have only two pigs, then you need to shoot them both at the same time because the other one will stress out.
So you obviously harvest, you have two pigs every season. Like, how does this work? Once a year kind of thing?
No, not every season. That would be a shit ton of pork.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a lot of meat.
That's a lot of meat. And I do give it to my sister and I used to give it to my parents and stuff like that. So no, we do two pigs, maybe every 2 to 3 years. I'm still working on, I do a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Too. So I literally just cooked ground pork last night from a pig that was shot in 2021. So
it's so amazing. You're living off your farm like that. That is so amazing. And it's so healthy.
Turkey eggs. You need to check out turkey eggs. So the first time I did turkeys was 10 years ago and I had this turkey that was like my dog. She would like literally chase me down the road when I left to go to work. And she would hang out with my dog in the backyard and she started laying eggs. And I was like, what is happening? So I tried them and they are so delicious. They're so big. They're so full of protein. And, so I just kept her and she laid eggs for about a year. And then this season, I got a turkey in April and I raised her and I was like, please lay eggs, please lay eggs. And she started laying eggs about 3 weeks ago. And oh my God, that is my breakfast every day. She lays an egg a day.
I'm going to be coming to your farm soon. You know that.
You can.
I was about to say, I need some. You're making me want to have some of these. So I've never tried one. And is there a difference in flavor or color?
Yep, there's a difference in color. So turkey egg is a lot more of a whiter yellow.
Yeah.
Laying hens have more of an orange color yolk.
Yeah.
And then you get it into duck eggs are even good for you too. But you've got to make sure that you cook a duck egg thoroughly. You can't have like a runny yolk with a duck egg. And those are more yellow too. So duck and turkey eggs are really good for you.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about other things you have on your farm. And because we talked prior to going on air and everybody knows my story. I've really focused on organic and healthy eating. I do a keto Mediterranean diet for now 15 months. I haven't put a drop. I haven't had nothing in my body for 15 months. That's out of a box. Everything is either organic or if it's not organic, I really, really work on washing and getting all the pesticides out and stuff like that. But it's, I eat as natural as I possibly can. So I love that you are living off your farm. Let's talk about other things that you grow on your farm and do you sell any of the stuff or just all for yourself?
Just eggs. Just the eggs. Yep.
And would you ever grow this into an actual business? You see yourself later on, like, cause there's so much want for this now.
There is, but there's so many people that are doing it. And I just don't have the time to put in the effort for like marketing that part of it.
Yeah.
People know, like my friends know when they come here, especially in the summer, they're going home with a grocery bag full of whatever. So whether it's wild game or pork or eggs, like I give eggs away like crazy, especially to my kids and my friends, lettuces, you know, any kind of herbs. Like I grow a lot of herbs. So sage and you know, lemon balm, lemongrasses, mint, thyme, parsley, basil, different kinds of flavors
of it. So good for you, all these things.
Yeah. And you know what?
So good for you.
For probably, I'm going to say for the last 12 years, when I have water, I put a basil leaf in my water and it kind of gives it like a minty flavor.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, parsley, I mean, if you look at even just parsley or even dried parsley leaves, I mean, the benefits towards cancer and other, there's so much benefits to all these herbs and stuff like that. Right. So when you're living off your farm, which is, like I said, I can't stress this enough. It's so amazing. And I have a friend of mine that lives up north and he also lives off his farm. Where do you look at, when you look at the food industry now, and this is going up here off top, when you look at the food industry and how majority of people are eating and diseases and where's your mindset on that with diseases and everything on the rise and obesity on the rise and all that stuff? and I'm looking at you, you're healthy, you're fit, you live off your farm, you're doing everything right. Do you see any change? Because it feels like it's like I'm looking around and I go to the grocery store and I go to a Frutino's and I'm spending probably double the amount on organic healthy stuff and it's driving me insane. But it's like, I feel like I have no other choice. And even when I get my organics, you're different. You know what you have there. When I get my organic, I'm still washing the crap of them because that organic farm could be next to a normal farm and getting blown wind, blowing pesticides over anyhow, right? So you don't have control over that. Where do you see it going? Do you not see, do you see any hope of you do see, explain that to me.
I do. We have a lot in this area. We have a lot of preppers clubs, like survival preppers clubs or
what is that?
Like that, like a preparation. So people okay. who don't believe in grocery stores and they Perfect. Live off the land and stuff like Perfect. That. There's a, it's a huge, huge group. There's actually, a preppers meeting every August here and it attracts hundreds of people from Toronto and all over the place. And it's specifically designed and set up to teach you how to do like microgreens and gardening. And if you have a small space and you don't have a yard and don't have ground, how to grow these things. And oh my God, there's a million TikTok videos out there on how to grow like a whole garden just out of jugs and water.
Yeah.
So it's very feasible to do on your own if you want to do it. When it comes to meat, I mean, you can't just have a sheep in the living room or a turkey in the bathroom or whatever. So that's a little bit more challenging, but you make connections with friends. And so say if you want a pig and you're like, Amanda, hey, can you raise me a pig? And I go buy you buy the pig for like $175 when it's just a little piglet. And I bring it to my farm and I raise it. There's your pig, you know, I'll butcher it, wrap it all up. And here you go.
And there are farms that will do that for you.
Friends that will do it for you. So I don't know if like a business farm will do it for you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, they do all the time. So you can go buy a cow or half a cow off of the farmer. So you can do that for sure. I went to the grocery store for the first time a couple months ago and I almost fell over because it was the first time I was in a grocery store in 2 years because I've been traveling so much and I could not believe what pricing I was seeing. And when I go to the grocery store, it's not for very much. It might be like for milk or butter or something like that I can't grow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it's like they put you in a situation where it's not easy to eat healthy. You get grass-fed butter. I mean, when I see it on sale, like Healthy Planet sometimes has it on sale and it's like $4.99 for a 250 gram one, which is the smaller bars of it. And when it's on sale, it's $4.99, it's half price. I literally buy like 70. I go in there as soon as the sale day is and I clear out their fridge and I buy 75 bars and I put it in my freezer. Yeah, I do that. And I know I'm good till the next sale because it's like a little 250 gram thing of butter, grass-fed butter is like $9. And you cook for a few, 3, 4, 5 times, put on some bread, and it's gone. So it's very expensive to eat healthy. It's not cheap. It's easier to eat junk food, right?
It is easier to eat junk food. I hate junk food. My youngest son is like right into junk food. And I'm like, what is happening here? Who are you? He's 25 and I'm just like, Mackenzie, one of these days it's going to catch up to you. Like you got to stop.
Yeah.
I can't tell a kid what to do.
Let's talk quickly. Okay. Let's talk about the Chuck Norris story. Give me the Chuck Norris story. Then I want to talk about your fitness journey and all that stuff.
Oh my God. Okay. So Chuck Norris. So I started a fitness magazine. I started using the Total Gym and I always used to watch like Chuck Norris movies with my dad and stuff. And so I'm like, I'm going to call Total Gym. And this actually goes into, if you don't try, you'll never know. So you're going to get it's going to go 50-50. It's going to be like a 50 yes or a 50 no. Yeah. So I called the Total Gym and I ended up getting the inventor's wife, not even administration. Like I got Joy on the phone. And she's like, hey, how can I help you? And I'm like, and I didn't really know what to say. This was years and years ago, right? And I never thought I would ever have done that. So I called and I'm like, so I have a story. Can I tell you my story? She's like, absolutely. So I told her I had Graves' disease. I saw Chuck Norris using the Total Gym. I went to Walmart. I bought it. I used it. Changed my life. Like my body just completely changed. And I'd be on it for hours, and Mackenzie'd be on it with me. It's just a little benum. And then I said, I started a fitness magazine because I'd go to the gym on the treadmill and I'd try to read a magazine. You had to flip like 13 pages in to find an actual story. And I said, so I just, you know, I wanted to tell you my story and see if there was like any kind of collaboration or anything, you know, you wanted to do. And she's like, oh, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to ask. I'd love to do an infomercial with Chuck Norris. And she laughed at me. She's like, girl, you have the biggest set of balls I've ever met on a girl. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, let me think about this and I'll get back to you. So a couple weeks later, she called me and she's like, Amanda, would you like to come to Houston and attend Chuck and Gina's Kickstart fundraiser for kids? And I was like, yes. And so I got invited for the first year and I got to have dinner at the same table with Chuck and Gina and like the doc from the Love Boat, all these people, the only Canadian in the room. George Bush was sitting behind me. Like, it was just mind blowing. And it was like, it was so crazy. So I got to go back every year. There's pictures of me giving Chuck Norris my Wild Game cookbook. And I got him a t-shirt that said, I am fitness. And it's just like, yeah. And I'm going to continue this really quick. I went to SHOT Show, and I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a big industry show in Vegas. And I went, the last time I went was in 2020. And I was doing a podcast with one of my buddies, and he's like, oh, Chuck Norris is at the Glock booth. You should go say hi. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I will. So I went over and I stood in line, and this guy that I stood behind turned around and looked at me. And he's like, the cutoff is here, and you're just going to have to come back at another time to meet him. And I was like, oh, that was kind of rude. So I'm like, why am I in line anyways? I walked around the Glock booth, saw Chuck Norris's bodyguard, and he's like, hey, Amanda. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, do you want to come in here, grab a picture, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, sure. So did that. We exchanged autographs, took pictures, hugged Gina. You know, Gina and I are really like good friends for being as far apart as we are. Yeah. And went back to the back of the line, tapped the guy on the shoulder, and was like, eh. And I walked away. And I'm not that kind of person, but he was so rude.
Oh God. It's so crazy. Something like Chuck Norris, how his legend and how it grew so much more after his career. I mean, the guy had essentially his movie career, and then he had that TV series, which went crazy. What was it called? The Cowboy one. Yes. That show was massive. I mean, yeah, so it's and it's I actually follow him on Instagram, and he looks the same still. It's so amazing.
He's so fun, and he's so real, and he's so genuine, and he's so quiet. And you know what? Gina is amazing. He has married like a most supportive, amazing woman in the world. She is awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about guns. I mean, that's something you obviously have a lot of passion about. It started from a very young age. There's so much controversy with guns and you're dealing with, let's go that way. I have no view on it really as a gun guy. Like, this is something where for the last couple of years, I've been talking that I actually want to get my handgun license. I want to get all this stuff. I've gone shooting a couple of times with friends and stuff like that. And it's more of a protection thing, where just being able to handle a gun and be able to know how to use a gun properly if you're ever in a situation.
No, not
when you're dealing with, yeah. So when you're dealing with the government in Canada, when you're looking at what Trudeau and these laws and all this stuff, as a hunter and as somebody that loves guns, like, where's your mindset with those all?
I do not talk politics.
Okay. Okay.
I think that what he's doing is wrong. Obviously, anybody that is a gun owner is going to agree.
Yeah.
The firearms that we have specifically for hunting are tools, just like our bow, just like our knife, just like, you know, our truck to get there, our ATV to pull it out. It is not, if you are a registered gun owner with a valid firearms license, there's a reason you have that. It's because they did a background check. It's because you're legally allowed to have that, legally allowed to go do that. It's the criminals that are screwing everything up for gun owners. Yeah. So, I do my part, which I love. And I do a women's range day, no license required. Come to the range, shoot pistol, rifle, shotgun, and archery. get to know the firearms, get comfortable with the firearms. If you want to proceed and move forward into shooting sports or hunting or anything like that, then you have a stepping stone to figure out if you even want to get into it or not.
How often do you do that?
Now I only do it once a year. Before I was doing it up to 9 times a year.
Oh, wow.
We did some co-ed ones too. And we take children in. So you can get your minor's license at 12 years old. But if you can hold a gun properly at the age of 9, I usually meet these kids at the Toronto Sportsman Show and they're like, Amanda, I want to come to range day. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go over to this booth. And if you can hold a gun properly, then yeah, you know, you're only 9 years old, blah, blah, blah. So we've had them as young as 9 and as old as 85. And I've been doing them since 2011. I've seen like 3,000 women go through this.
This is so awesome.
And over 95% of them go forward to get their firearms license and or their hunting license. So that is a really big deal to me. And I think the more you introduce it, especially to women, because they're going to introduce it to our children, which therefore carry on their generation and our hunting heritage and all of that stuff. So, and a lot of women want to get out there hunting because they want to put meat in their freezer to feed their family. That is like increased incredibly over since like COVID. So the last 3 years, I do a take me hunting event and I am like, just my inbox is full of women that are like, I want to go. And I'm only one person.
It's crazy you say that because I remember listening on a podcast with Joe Rogan and he said that too. I mean, the amount of in the US and Texas, one odd where he is now, the amount of individuals that are, because of COVID, are looking at different options for obviously filling up the freezer and stuff like that, is grown drastically. And I love that you're bringing that up. So that is bringing obviously a lot of awareness to supply chains and stuff like that, where being self-sufficient and doing your own stuff and being able to hunt or gather for yourself is growing the excitement of it. Where do people go to learn more about, like, where do you have a site and stuff like that? Let's talk about that
quickly. Oh, yes. Yep. So if you want to get involved in one of the hunting adventures, justhunt.ca is my website and everything is there. Old episodes are there, a whole bunch of articles on take me hunting and just my adventures. Sign up for take me hunting, take me fishing. Take me off-roading, snowmobiling, ice fishing, destination retreats. There's like, I do everything. I have this email in my inbox. This guy saw me on TikTok the other day and he is 58 years old. He's from Edmonton, Alberta. He's got, cardiovascular issue and a couple other things going on. And I love making dreams come true. This is my biggest thing that I do. And there are tons of videos out there that describe it. And this one gentleman is like, Amanda, like, if there's any possible way to make my wish come true, I want one final hunt, you know, and I'm like, been racking my brain for 3 days trying to figure out how to make this happen. So I am going to figure it out. I'm emailing him back and forth this morning and he can't really walk. But it's, I had a girl who wanted to go bear hunting a couple of years ago and she has blood cancer, stage 4 blood cancer. And I took her bear hunting and she shot her first bear. And she was like over the top, over the moon. There's a whole episode on it. She went through kind of hell and back to be able to do this. I sat with her. I was with her every step of the way. And she was rewarded with a freezer full of bear meat that she provided for her own family. Her husband was so proud of her. And this year, I took a couple of girls deer hunting and 2 girls shot their first bucks. One had never been hunting before, day in her life. And it was the first morning. Crossbow, an 8-point buck came out in the first hour. She did an excellent shot. She harvested this deer and she brought it home and she fed her family. And the other girl was like, she was a hunter, but she'd never sat by herself, never sat in the dark before, never shot a buck. So I talked her into, you know, like, we'll drop you off at the stand. It's going to be dark. Yes. But you know, you're going to be safe. You're going to love and you're going to be so proud of yourself when that sun comes up and the animals come out. And, you know, you can say, I did it. I did it by myself. And she did. And she got her buck. And those are the stories that are like, I love
them. Let's talk. No, I love it. I love your excitement. And I love everything you're doing. Let's talk about bow hunting, where it's become very popular now. And I'm saying popular maybe because the people that are talking about it have massive followings. Joe Rogan's massively, Cam Haynes. Do you know, you ever heard of Chad Mendes, UFC? Google Chad Mendes. He's a UFC fighter, MMA fighter, very popular, but now he's retired. And he runs similar to you. He does expeditions like hunting and fishing, and he has his own hunting line and spice line, and he's really into that. So the bow hunting world is really, really taking off. Where the popularity, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
Okay, okay, okay.
Because they take away our guns.
Yeah.
So I went to Africa and I shot every single one of my animals with a bow, and it was pass through kill shots, no wounded animals, and I have never been so proud of myself in my life. I practiced my.
I was going to say that when did you start bow hunting? Because that's obviously something that's it's obviously taking off popularity now. But is this something you've been doing for a while?
It has been something I've been doing for a while. I shot my first deer with a crossbow in 2011, and I would only take the bow out once a year. I was mostly a gun hunter, but over the last 4 years, I have harvested quite a few animals with the bow, mostly deer.
Yeah.
And then changing my setup and practicing all summer before going to Africa, I was able to harvest like big animals with the bow. So the wildebeest, the kudu, the gamsbuck, the water buck, and impala. Impala is the smallest of them all, but the hardest of them all because they're skittish.
I was going to say they're speed, huh?
Yeah. And I did an amazing, we got it in slow motion, the footage.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And it's just like, and all my animals were like 60 yards from where I shot. So it was just like, there's some like trailers and teasers and stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's just a bow hunting. Okay. Gun hunting is one thing. It's exciting. It's like you get the bang, you get the whole gun feel with the bow. Completely different. It's so much more rewarding because sometimes you got to pull back and hold for quite a piece, and you got to wait, and you need to, in your head, you know, like, I need to make that ethical shot. But a bull will destroy an animal, and a broadhead will destroy an animal more so than a bullet. A bullet's just going to go through, hit something, whatever.
Yeah.
If you make like a slight, say you're a little to the left or a little to the right, and that broadhead is in there. As if the broadhead is stuck in there, as that animal runs, that broadhead is still doing its magic. It's still working on that animal to, let it expire. So I think bow hunting is more challenging, more rewarding.
I was going to say it's physically a lot more challenging.
Physically more challenging.
And yes. I'm assuming it's a lot more difficult as well.
It is. There's a lot more moving parts.
Yeah.
Right. Where if a bear comes up, you can kind of slowly sneak up and get your gun and then, place yourself how you need to.
Would you feel comfortable doing bow hunting with a bear?
My kids have all shot their bears with bows.
Seriously. Okay. That changes that. Yeah.
I haven't.
I don't know. In my head, I'm just like, the bear's coming at you. It's the I don't know. Obviously, I've never done it before, so it just in my head. I mean, it's more time consuming, and it's and you could the nerves. Like
that's like 3 seconds.
But the quality and the ingenuity of bows have drastically changed, I'm assuming, and they're constantly changing.
I shoot APA archery, which is a Canadian made bow in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And it is like right here. This is my APA bow, and it is actually the Swiss Army knives of bows. So hopefully this color.
Yeah.
So we have broadhead. Oh my God. You can put your broadhead in there and tighten it up. You have a knife sharpener here. You have a knock twist here. You have it hangs, you can hang it on any branch you want or anywhere. So when you're walking through the bush, you got to tie your boot up and you just poof, and hang it up. And I absolutely I've shot tons.
What does that weigh? It looks very light.
It's very light. I actually don't know what it weighs.
I'm assuming there's not much force pulling it back, something like that, because the wheels.
This is 52 pounds.
Still a good impact pull.
Yeah. So it's 52 pounds. And I can't remember what that one. This one here, this will tell you, this is my new one. So this one is a 52 pound and it shoots at 315 feet per second.
So repeat that.
It is
300. I got the pound, but it shoots what?
315 feet per second.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You ain't running away from that.
So, yeah. So it's just amazing. Like this, the whole stabilizer setup, it comes
Does it have a laser on there?
No laser. This one doesn't have a sight on it yet, but it comes with your own tools to actually fix your string right on the field and everything. So if you're going to, get into bow hunting, APA archery, I'm not even joking.
What is the cost of something like that? A rough cost?
I'd say about $1,100, maybe. Like good bows, you're going to pay $11,000, maybe $2,000. There's a price sight on it. There is none. You'll have to go to apaarchery.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
So with everything you're doing, have you written any type of, like, obviously have you written a book yet?
Have I written a book?
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of writing a book.
Okay. I was about to say that there's so much knowledge that you could be passed. Are you doing it as more as stories or more of a learning experience, like how to do things?
I don't know. So I've called it Wild and Free, and I think I'm going to do the first book. The outline is kind of like fiction based on reality. So it's about a girl that grew up and her purpose in life and, you know, the things that she's done. So kind of taking me huntings and range days and sustainability and conservation and all that. So I think the first book is kind of outlined that way. We just kind of put it together about a month ago. I don't know. I know a lot of people have been like, Amanda, holy crap, you've been through so much, your fitness, your health, you know, your parents, your family, your kids, all this stuff. And you're a female sole proprietor, entrepreneur, TV show, keynote speaker at events. Like all these things are happening. Put it in a book. And I'm like, are people really going to read that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if you grab enough of the following, I mean, you will be able to push that. But I mean, having a book where you're teaching, I think, especially working hand in hand with your adventures you sell and all that stuff like that, like teaching how to, whether it's the butchering side, whether it's the tealing side, or whether it's explaining this, just going through stories of what you've done plus lessons, there's so much value. I think people would eat that stuff up right now, especially when you're saying.
I could do that. I don't have I have like zero time, but it's on the plate. It's there. I write a lot for other
magazines, publications,
yeah, newspapers and publications, Northern Outdoors or North American Outdoorsman out of the States. I write for, and I write for Canadian Access to Firearms. It's a newspaper out of the Yukon. I write for them every month, and I'm just doing an article for Safari Times about Africa. So I'm kind of like, and then I write for like local magazines. So I just did an article for the Salmon Spectacular Derby and on Sound. So I do that. Plus I got to write my seminars. Plus I have SHOT Show. I have Nashville. I have the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, all three keynote speaking events that are like back. So, and then to try to find time to do, you know, everything else that I do and, you know, eat.
When you look at yourself, Amanda, when you look at yourself now, and do you ever sit back and reflect on hunting with your dad and
yes.
Where,
oh my God,
like who, where, like never in a million years, like most people would ever dream of, you're doing all that now, and you're doing it at such a high level, and you're obviously inspiring probably millions of other women doing it as well. Do you ever sit back and reflect on that?
Yes, I do. And one thing that I've always done and I can't do anymore is anytime I would shoot a big game animal, my very first phone call live on TV would be my dad. I would call my dad and he would know, because he's like, oh shit. And he'd answer the phone and I'd put him on speakerphone. I'm like, okay, dad, we're recording. So watch what you say. And he's like, what did you shoot? How big is it? Where are you? And then he'd be like, I'm so proud of you. And it's kind of actually, it's part of my seminar. So the one episode where I shoot an elk, and you can see it on YouTube right now, it was in 2019. And I shot my first bull elk, and I'm trying to call my dad, and he's trying to call me back. We're trying to take pictures, and we have the video camera going, and it's a massive snowstorm. We're in the middle of this big field, and it's just chaos. And it's just me and my buddy Kyle. And then finally my dad gets through, and I answer, and I'm like, "Dad." And he's like, "Maddie." It's just like, he's like, "So what did you do? What happened?" And it's just like, he's like, and I'm like, "Do you want some meat?" He's like, "Yeah." And it's part of my seminar. And every time when I'm on a hunt, my grandfather was a moose guide in BC. He was a moose guide in Northern Ontario. And so when I'm on a hunt, I talk to them. My uncle Jurgen always asked me to go deer hunting with him on the island in Lake Superior. And I always said, well, I'm going to go with my dad because I don't know how much time I have left with my dad. So I'm moose hunting with my dad. And I missed the boat, and my uncle drowned in Lake Superior in an accident. And I never actually got to go hunting with him. So a couple of years later, my uncle Fred, which was his brother, asked me to go moose hunting with him. And I was like, I'm not saying no, like, we're going, that's it. So I dragged Mackenzie and my husband up there, and we went moose hunting. He had a heart attack on the moose hunt, so I had to get him to the hospital. And that was a whole learning curve. And one of the things in my seminars is, I don't care if you think you know how to drive an ATV, a boat, a truck, a car, or whatever. If you're with somebody, you learn to drive their boat, their ATV, and their truck, because that is so important to save someone's life. You never know when that's going to come in handy. He had a heart attack on the beach. We got there with his boat, and he's screaming like he didn't have a heart attack and die. Like he was gonna, if he was there by himself, he wouldn't have made it. And I had to run down the creek, pick him up. He's 6'2", carry him back over to where the boat was. And he's like, "Mandy, get in the boat, get in the boat." So I'm getting in the boat. He's screaming at me to try to start the boat, and I'm crying, and I don't know how to start it. I know how to make my boat go. I don't know how to make his boat go. So it's very important that when you're with a group of people, and especially if you don't know them, what is their medical history? What do they need? Do they have asthma? Do they have an EpiPen? These things are very, very, very important. Allergies. If you're with an outfitter, it doesn't matter if it's an outfitter or a guide, and they're the ones driving the Argo, ask if you can drive it for a few minutes, just in case he breaks his leg or something. Like, that is very, very valid points and very important. Sorry.
No, that was a pure lesson I didn't expect to have right now. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. So you never got to hunt. Did you ever go back and hunt with your uncle, or did you ever?
No, I didn't. I didn't get
a bucket list.
It is a bucket list. We talk about it every year, and every year he kind of gets a little bit worse, but he's still guiding. He's in Kenora. It's really not, you know, it's not like he can just like drive down the road.
Yeah.
It's hard. So we'll see what happens. And like I said, like, I have a lot of, he's not on the back burner, but I have all these, like, you're going to Scotland, Amanda, you're going to New Zealand, you're going to Africa. This person wants to hunt with you. That person, like, there's only 12 months in a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm only like, how do you pick and choose? Right.
Yeah. So. 100%. 100%. So when you still do a show or do a kill, and do you take a moment just to be like, almost whisper to yourself or talk to your dad and be like, "Hey, I got this." Like, do you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I was very close to my father, and I lost him. It's going on. This May will be 3 years. I lost my dad. And I was the 40, when he passed away, I was 44. I was a 44 year old that I would call my dad on the way to work, call my dad on the way home. Then I would call every night before he went to bed, we would have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I was very, very close. And it was a sudden heart attack, unexpected, didn't smoke, didn't drink. It was just like, talked to him on a Thursday night, May 6th, 9:30, 10 at night. We had a great conversation. I got a call at 5:30 in the morning. Friday morning, he got up, went to the bathroom, walked back, looked at my mom, and just passed out. That was it. Instantly died. And it hit me until this day. Like, anything, any accomplishment or anything was happening, I always call my dad. Hey, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
and so proud of you. Yes. And I still, when something happens, whether it's negative or positive, like, I'll have a conversation with him, and I'll be like, "Hey, I did this," or things. And so I appreciate you still do that, because it's a big part of who you are, right?
Huge. I did it with my mom, and then I lost both of them, because they were both very, I was close to both of them, and they were both always super, very proud. My mom didn't get to see everything that's happening, because it all started when the year that she passed. But my dad watched me grow you know, like he didn't see the Africa or the alligator or things like that, but he was like, wow, you know, like I turned on Sportsman Channel and there's my daughter. Watch That Hunting Girl with Amanda Mayhew at 7:30 on Mondays. And he's just like, I tell everybody. And he was like super proud to wear his Just Hunt jacket with his name on it. He wrote me, he burned, it's on the wall right in front of me, and it's a piece of wood, and he has his words burned into it to tell me to never give up.
What are the words? You want to read it?
Yeah. So it said, live your dream, do what you love, cherish every moment, be brave, take risks, create your own happiness, have an open mind and heart, make a real difference, never give up, dream big, be fearless, make every moment count. Today is the day, just do it. And just do it is the biggest thing. So he gave me a birthday card the year my mom passed away. He was living with us, but in it, my dad did hashtag. He doesn't even know what a hashtag is. He put just do it in there. And so like I took the most important parts of that and I got it tattooed on me with dad so that I always remember, like it's up there. Anyways, you can't see it, but he live your life and live every single day like it's your last day and just go do it. So that's why I went to Africa and that's why I went to alligator hunting. And that's why I do the things I do, because
just do it. Live it. I've done actually speeches on this and whatnot. And I've always talked about it before. And even though you try to live with no regrets, there's always going to be regrets. There's always gonna be like, I wish I did this extra thing. I wish I did this. Right. But I've always lived my life with my kids, whether it's with my parents. You try to live with your friends, your family, like with no regrets. If you have in your head to call that person, just pick up the phone and call them, because you just never know if there's not to be tomorrow. Just do what you have to do. Tell the person you love them. Tell them, because there might not be a second chance, right?
And tell everybody happen. I love them.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's just, you just have to be able to live with no regrets. And I love that you're going to Africa, you're doing this stuff, because it's these are all things that one day, if you didn't take those opportunities, those chances, you would regret it, right? So it's awesome you're doing all this. Give us, over the next, where do you see yourself going with this? I mean, you're doing the show, you're just so much happening right now. Like,
so I want like a lodge or, so Take Me Hunting, I want to take it to the next level. I want to be able to have a place where people can come to do Take Me Huntings. And I don't have to like, okay, I'll meet you in Sturgeon Falls, or let's go to New Lisker, or let's go to Alberta or whatever. Like I've been looking at land in Saskatchewan in Alberta to see if I can like somehow make something like that happen, where it's the Just Hunt Adventure Lodge where you can stay, play, and learn.
I love
that. That has been a dream of mine for years. So I have a retail as well. Like I do clothes and I custom design and I have custom camouflage. So it's not real tree or mossy oak. It's actually Just Hunt camo. It's the only one out there. So I do clothing. I do Take Me Hunting. I do the TV show. I want a place where I can kind of like put it all under one roof and be like, hey, yo, you can come here, you can learn. And if you already know how, then you can go and do it yourself. And that's, I just want to like expand on what I do, but kind of keep it under one thing. That's my dream.
I love
and it. My second part of my dream, it's not really a dream. It's everyone's always like, when are you going to get on Joe Rogan's podcast? So we'll see if that happens. I've tried to contact him. It's impossible.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're, demographically and in what you do, I mean, you're literally would have a great conversation, because he obviously, you guys are very similar into the hunting and stuff like that, right? And fitness and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, that, I mean, his audience, I mean, we have a decent audience. So, I mean, we're a little guy, but we're out there. But Joe, it's just the exposure is overnight. It just changes stuff overnight, which is, is great. I mean, you are.
The other thing I want to do, and why Dave and I have been like chatting so much back and forth lately, is because I want to do like some crazy thing in the movies. I want to like be a stunt person or do something like, people are like, oh my God, Amanda, if you ever got into the movies, you'd be like the female John Wick, you know, like I just want to do something crazy. I'm going to be 50 this year. And I just want to do like something that's just like over the top, that is like completely out of the box, besides the fashion show. That's kind of more of a completely different realm. But I want to do like, I don't know, I just want to get on the big, like the big screen and like pretend fight scenes and stuff like that. I almost want to be like Black Widow.
I love it. You're doing awesome. You're doing awesome. Where can your audience get a hold of you, watch you, follow you? When's your TV show air? All that stuff like that. YouTube channels. Give me all the information.
JustHunt.ca. You can find everything there. All the social media links are very easy to navigate through. You can watch That Hunting Girl Monday night at 7:30 on Sportsman Channel. And if you miss it, it airs four more times during the week. And if you go to justhunt.ca, you can see where I'm going to show up at personal appearances, different trade shows, and all the events that are happening, and you can join yourself.
This is awesome. This is awesome. I appreciate it. I'm sure I'll have you back on. There's a lot happening there. Maybe when you get the role on TV or something like that, or you get on the Joe Rogan. But this has been awesome, Amanda. Anything you want to leave with our audience?
If you want something, just remember that if you can accept a 50% no, then you can accept a 50% yes. And you're never going to know unless you try.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. I mean, what's that saying? You lose out on 1,000% of the chances that you never take, kind of thing, right? So it's just that mindset. You just have to, you're a perfect example. You just never know what comes out of something, which is crazy. Like when you started with your set, you're just at the show and how it's just brought into a TV show and appearances, and you've become this household name as a female hunter, and you're obviously being an inspiration to other female hunters, and everything you do is, it's crazy how it just evolved. And it's been a very short period.
Very short period. It's been 8 years.
Which is crazy. I mean, so congrats on all your success. I'm very glad we connected. I mean, springtime, I'm going to be reaching out to you and come getting some eggs at your farm for sure.
I think I'm going to try and hook you up with some turkey eggs here sooner than later.
Whenever. I'm excited to have that all promoted and excited to try them. So thank you so much for this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.